This is a Power to Change project funded by the National Lottery Community Fund. Hi, hello, assalamu alaikum. You're tuning into Jam Packed episode 4, Women's Rights. And here we've got Simran.
Hi, I'm Simran. I'm 21 and I'm a teacher.
And here we have Jenny.
Hi, I'm Jenny. I'm a HR assistant and I am 52 years of age.
Okay, so today we've got women's rights. I'm really excited to get a different perspective on women's rights. It's a very broad subject and we're going to have a lot to cover. So one of my first questions is, like, who are you and also what is your ethnicity / your background or religion?
So I was born here. I'm Hindu and my ethnic background is I'm Indian but I'm also quarter Filipino.
Okay, cool. And Jenny over here.
So I'm white, British, lived in the UK for all my life. All my family's lived in the UK ever since I know. So yeah,
okay.
British yeah. Like,
religion, yeah. Catholic, atheist?
No religion whatsoever. My mum was Catholic, my dad's Church of England, but I've not been baptised or christened.
Okay, agnostic. You'd say. Okay, cool. Good to know, because I feel like all with like different religions and also cultures will come different standards and different viewpoints to do with women, which we'll get into a little bit further on. But one of the next questions I wanted to ask is, what is your definition of being a woman? What are some things that you value, that you try and kind of do as a woman in today's day and age in England?
I honestly don't know how to answer that question, because I think being a woman means a lot. Like, we bring birth into this world. Like, the only way, like, we can reproduce is obviously through a woman. So I think we take on a lot of responsibility.
Yeah, I think you bring a really big point. Yeah. Without women, there would be no other men, women.
Yes.
There would not be any life.
Yeah.
Now, coming on to you, you say that being a woman means to you. What are some important values that you have and views that you have being a woman in today's day and age?
Okay, so I'm a mother of two daughters, so being a woman is important. Yeah. I've brought up my two daughters.
Having that strong, like, woman sort of figure in the house.
Absolutely, because I have been divorced, I've gone through that with my kids, so I've brought them up on my own.
Yeah.
So showing them that they can be strong, independent women as well. They don't have to rely on men all the time, that they can do things for themselves. When you look back to when I was your age, times were different, and women today have got a lot more experience and rights and got more choices in the workplace.
Definitely.
Than when I was young.
I think it's really important, especially being a mother, to have that sort of impression and have that example to set your children more than anything, that yes, there are men in this world, and yes, there are certain things that are different between women and men, but you have still got this sense of, you know, I am me, and also that empowerment that you're giving them.
Yeah.
Because, unfortunately, even though things have become a lot more, like, progressive as time has gone on, there's still going to be those barriers, those stigmas, and those stereotypes attached to women. So I think it's really important to just, you know, bring our future girls up, especially having this sense of, like, they can do anything. And just because, you know, they might be men dominated in a certain industry, doesn't mean a woman can't then do that same job and excel at it.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
So in the hospitality trade that I'm in, it is seen as a male-orientated world at the top.
Unfortunately, yes.
Yes, but when you first start off, it's mainly women. So it's getting that women to progress up to the top. They're getting there, But when you see pictures of the CEOs and the chair people,
it's mainly white, upper class, old men.
Absolutely.
That's all we're seeing.
Yes. Yeah. So getting that through, it's really hard. Same with brewing, because we do brewing. We do have a female brewer now.
Yeah.
But there's not many of those. And it's getting women to know that they can do all these things, that is not just stuck with, like when I had my career's advice, it was care, office, or work in a shop, basically, and that was it. But now you've got so many things you can do.
Yeah, things are really taking a step forward, which I see happening all the time. But, you know, we still have to address the elephant in the room sometimes. Unfortunately, even in some, you know, industries, women are getting paid less, even though they're doing the same exact job as the men.
Absolutely. And that's why you've got the Equal Pay Act that came in 1970.
Yeah.
And it's still not the same. And there is companies of a certain size, I think it's over 250 employees, do have to report their gaps in gender pay gaps. So it is coming down, but it's been a fight. I don't know if you noticed, before there was retail, Tesco and Asda have taken their companies to court because the men in the warehouses was paid more than the women in the shops. So they wanted to be paid equal because they said the jobs
were
the roles
were the same. You would think that big organisations like supermarkets would know better than that, but unfortunately things like that are still happening.
Yeah,
and it's shocking because you're like, wow, okay, you know, we think things are progressing, but sometimes they're not. Okay, this leads me to my next question, which would be, as a woman of your sort of ethnicity, also like religion wise and just in general, have you ever been discriminated in any way? If so, you know, what was it? And
myself, I don't see myself that I have been discriminated against in any way, but I have had lots of banter. Yeah, it's called banter, where people have made comments about you as a woman, saying things.
That's brushed under the rug.
Absolutely.
And actually, no, it shouldn't just be called comments. In reality, just because you're a woman doesn't mean you have to be, you know, sort of complicit with these comments. And just because you're simply, you know, existing doesn't mean that these comments can just be, like, just pushed to the side. Mm-hmm. So go into a little bit more detail about, you know, what you've experienced and that sort of thing.
So obviously I've been in the workplace for like 40 odd years. Yeah. So when in like the 1980s, 90s, when I first started, the comments were, it was part of kind of life. You were supposed to be able to just put up with it. It was very hard to...
Misogynistic, a lot of misogyny.
Yeah, it was very hard to talk about these things or put in a complaint or anything.
Because it wasn't seen as that big of an issue like it is now.
No, but today it's, there's still, you will see it around, but it's easier for a woman to put in complaints. And then in October, there's going to be a new sexual harassment law coming in. So it's going to make it even harder for people to not be realistic about what sexual harassment is and something.
Yeah, no. I think it's really great, these laws that are coming about, because they are very much needed, and there's so much things that happen and so many women that get discriminated on a daily basis, but nothing gets put into the records because it isn't deemed as that big of a deal. It's not deemed as, this needs to be put forward. It's people are told to just not be as sensitive or not be as, you know, what's the word? Sort of easily provoked, when in reality it's like complete discrimination. Mm-hmm. Okay, going on to you now, as a South Asian yourself, have you faced any discrimination in the past? Have you faced any backlash or any experiences where you felt that you were deemed as less, you know, in your life?
So I used to actually get quite a lot of comments to me when I used to play football with all the boys. back in school, and obviously, okay. as me being the only girl playing football with them, I used to be like, I'd get called like really rude comments, just because I was a girl and actually like participating in sports. Because people would usually say like, it's a guy's thing, like only boys are supposed to be playing football, like girls don't do sports. So go do something else. Go, I want to play tag with your girl mates and go play other games. So I've experienced that growing up.
Can I just ask a question?
Yes.
When was this, and has the football, because women's football is starting to grow a bit,
yes.
Has that attitude kind of changed a little bit? Do you see that changing
a little bit? Yeah, I do see it slowly is changing, but like even now you will still get them few little comments, even if it is classed as just banter, mm-hmm. that you're just a girl. That
again, it's going back to the just banter thing,
yeah,
which I think is really quite rude. It's like, if anything like that, if any sort of hateful or, you know, suggestive comments were being said to a male,
yeah,
they would have a right go at you, and in fact they would probably make a bigger fuss than women ever have.
Yeah.
And it just shows that if anything's happening to a man, and they will have full entitlement, they will get whatever they need to get out of that. But as soon as it's happening to a woman, oh no, they're being dramatic.
Yeah, too emotional,
yeah, too sensitive. Like, you know, why can't you just let it go? And it's like, no, actually, what you're saying is very derogatory, but you don't realise that. And also, I think, especially with social media and with certain alpha males and certain personalities out there, they are portraying to men that it's okay to have this toxic masculinity, and they're teaching people it's okay to, you know, do these things, when in reality it should be going the other way. You know, things should be progressing, and people should be more understanding, and especially with like women's rights and things like that, like people should really be getting with the times, and like, you know, no more BS at this point.
Yeah, I've noticed even when it comes to like social media, how you're saying about like people portraying like masculinity when it comes to social media, I feel like that's only started to happen a lot more now, because women have actually tried to get their voice across through social media. So men is like, they're like having to try and fight back to try and bring that masculinity back.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
They feel threatened in a way.
That's what it is.
Which shouldn't be the case, because men have always been at the top.
Mm.
And women are just trying to work their way up to try and find a level ground with men.
Mm.
But men see it as a threat.
Yeah.
Which says a lot about them and about their egos and things like that.
Insecurities,
exactly. Yeah. You know, I mean, me personally, being a Muslim, you know, British Pakistani, it's difficult, because even though as a Muslim, I know my rights and I know things that I'm entitled to, and, you know, having a certain status. But unfortunately, especially, you know, in Britain, it's one of those things where, because I'm wearing my hijab and because I'm covering up, you know, people see it as, oh, you're being oppressed, or, oh, you've not got freedom, or, you know, people are telling you what to do and people aren't letting you live your life. But in reality, actually, I am the most free that I've ever been. The reason why I dress a certain way is purely between me and my God, and that's all it is. Yes, some cultures will, you know, kind of promote it more than other cultures or other places in the world, but at the end of the day, this is my choice, this is what I choose to do. And actually, if you look into Islam, there is a lot of rights that Muslims have, Muslim women. Mothers are given a really high status. Women are given a really high status in our religion. Anything that a man makes, husband, they have to give a significant amount to their wife. And also, any expenses that the woman might need is all taken care of by the husband. And I wanted to mention that only because there's such big stereotypes nowadays with religion and with oppression and with all of these things. So, yeah, what would you say on that topic?
Is it what you've just...
just going off of what I said, like, yeah.
Because I'm not a Muslim, so I'm learning quite a lot.
Yeah, just from like, your experience, from, like, people around you, and sort of, like, seeing how that translates to you and what opinions you've sort of gathered over, like, the years and things like that.
You do put us on the spot, don't you?
Oh, my God. So, what are your views on it now? You know, what are your views on in terms of, say, for example, a Muslim woman, and, you know, if somebody was to then say, oh, they're oppressed, or, oh, they should take that off their head, or say interrogatory things, like, what would your views be on that?
My views would need be I need to understand more. I can't have a view on something that I don't know the whole picture. There's lots of things that are going off in the media and everything at the minute, and you need to make informed choices. And if you haven't got both sides of the story or understand everything, you shouldn't then
jump to conclusions.
We all have our own choices. We all should be able to live our own lives and have no fears of any judgments. And I know this is a utopia kind of life that we could all lead, that we shouldn't live in fear of people. We shouldn't live in fear of not being ourselves, because not all the time we can be ourselves.
Yeah.
A lot of people put downism, call it banter and that kind of thing. So it would be good if it could be free to be who we are without anybody criticising or making undue comments and that kind of thing, without understanding you as a person.
Definitely. Okay, so now going on to the topic of, like, I did want to mention this because of women's rights, is with the recent riots and things that have been going on in the UK, following, like, the kind of the extremist sort of side of people who, you know, have opinions on immigrants and have opinions on women and maybe certain religions or things like that, you know, the EDL. So I think that's taken a toll on a lot of people, and I think it needs to be spoken about, because unfortunately, as you said, people, especially Muslim women and even Muslim men, are scared to leave their houses because they are in fear of, you know, discrimination. They're in fear of hate crimes. They're in fear of, you know, all these horrific things that are happening. And really, you know, we should be much more, feel much more safe and feel much more like we can, you know, live our life and do what we want to do without having that fear of, oh, what if we go on the street and this happens, or fear of, you know, their safety and whatnot and things like that. Being South Asian yourself, what opinions would you have surrounding that?
So when everything actually happened, obviously me being a teacher, we had to make sure, like, we had things put into place, because obviously the children, there was quite a few children who were scared to come back into, like, the summer camps, which was quite sad. Like, I found it really sad, because there were three Muslim girls, and they were telling their mother, like, they don't want to go to school, that they're scared of, like, attending the schools and stuff. And when everything was, like, obviously kicking off, I was at work, and I actually got the warning of, like the curfew thing that happened in Easter. And people were generally getting frightened of, like, everything that was going on.
Yeah, because there were so many different things going on, and it was so sporadic, and all of these hooligans just decided they're going to go rogue.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was quite funny, because there was a few people that were, they were shoplifting in Greggs.
Yeah.
And I was just like, okay, you know, people are getting a bit big for their boots. And I was like, right, okay. You know, all of these people that, it's funny because, you know, there was those people that were saying, they're stealing our jobs. But hold on a second. Can you please show me your qualifications? Are you trying to get a job? Are you putting in effort to get a job? Or are you just saying that because, you know, you feel threatened, because people that are qualified, that want to actually pursue in their life, are coming here to have a better life and to, you know, get more out of their life, you know?
Again, this is where it's kind of all blown out of proportion. Really, we should be looking at, it was attack on young girls. Yeah. It was attack on women. But the thing, it's about women's rights and our attack. And then it's like, there's been a couple more incidences on the media where women have been stabbed.
Yeah.
A couple in London, one at the weekend, and the Notting Hill carnival. And you think, why? The real issue here is what the women that were involved in this. Forget about the thing where, again, this is misinformation, that everyone is taken out of context, but it's really, we should have looked at, why was it an attack against women?
Yeah.
And that kind of thing, it doesn't...
I feel like they were rioting for the wrong reasons.
Absolutely, yeah.
They were rioting because they saw an opportunity and they were like, right, we're going to take this opportunity and we're going to go absolutely mental.
Yeah.
That was it. That was really it, wasn't it? And it was so unfortunate with the attacks that were happening on those beautiful young three, you know, absolutely sweet girls. And then everything just got blown out and it just became this thing that it wasn't at the start. And, you know, it kind of brought out the ugliness in some people that maybe they weren't showing beforehand. And unfortunately, there is still a lot of racism and a lot of things that are going on in everywhere in the world, everywhere. But it just decided to poke its nasty head out and show people their true colours, the people that, you know, we are doing, what they were doing and all the riots and all that. But again, it goes back to women, and unfortunately, in today's day and age, you know, women are very vulnerable. No matter what area it is, whether it's being late out at night or being in a public environment or going to their workplace or anything, unfortunately, women still face a lot of, you know, a lot of uncomfortable situations that they're put in. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, men, again, more than likely, they'll be doing certain things which they know are wrong, which they know are intimidating, which are even, in some cases, going against the law. Mm-hmm. But they'll feel like they can do whatever they want because certain things aren't reported, or certain women won't go to the police because they feel ashamed or they feel embarrassed or they feel like they should have dealt with their situation in a different way. You know, going from, you know, the industry that you work in, could you speak a little bit more on that and the certain laws that are put in place that weren't in place before in terms of harassment, in terms of, you know, women that felt unsafe in their environment and things like that?
As I say, in October, there's going to be a new sexual harassment law coming for the workplaces. So hopefully that will impact people that are feeling, if they're being sexually harassed at work, that they can put feel more better about
comfortable.
Comfortable or reporting it and speaking out about it in the workplace. Because, again, it's late at night, so it's putting in places to make people, women feel safe about getting home at night as well. You try and help as much as you can with that, but a lot of it is in while they're at work to make them feel kind of safe. That
stuff. It's unfortunate because, you know, places like work and even like certain areas, they're supposed to be deemed as somewhere safe. They're supposed to be deemed as somewhere that you're able to, you know, get on with your job and do what you need to do and not have to be in fear of any harassment, any discrimination, anything of that sort. But unfortunately, it's more common than what we think.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
Walking home at night, you should be able to, when you finish work, be able to feel safe and secure about walking home. And there's been obviously a few cases of women being taken off street from people that you think would be safe for you to talk to. That would turn out to be policemen and that kind of thing.
Honestly, like, there's so much abuse going around, and, like, especially with, like, certain power, you know, certain super kind of, what's the word that I'm trying to get at here? You've got your sort of pyramid situation, and people that are at the top, they feel like they can abuse certain things because they've got that status. And it's horrendous. You know, I mean, you must have received so many, so many accounts where you've got women that have expressed their, you know, difficulties that they've had in the workplace, or expressed their not feeling safe when they're going out, or if they've been harassed or even rape, things like that. That must still be quite common, I'm assuming.
I must admit, I've never come across anybody that's been raped, so thank goodness
that.
I can talk about myself, really. Going out on a night out and going into a pubs, because my friends would always be late and I was always first. So walking into a pub on my own to the bar, you would get quite a bit of stick from either the bar staff would like miss you out and go to somebody else, and you go, because there's a man, they sign a man and they think you're together, and it's like, no,
oh, goodness.
I'm in the middle, I want to be served, thank you very much. Or
yeah.
One time I went into a bar and some bloke came up to me and says, where's all your mates? It's like, you think, can I not just come in for a drink? I should be able to.
If a man can walk in and do what they want, why is it that a woman can't do that same Absolutely. Thing and then be accepted and seen? And seen as a human being rather than, oh, they need to be accompanied by their kin, like.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know? Yeah, I think, again, there's so many things that need to be improved on in this day and age. Like, we think that we've progressed, which we have in some areas. Mm-hmm. Some areas are doing really well, and other areas are still, you know, improvements need to be made, and that sort of thing.
What about in schools? Is there anything in place where the schools teach anything yeah. to the kids?
Is there anything like educational wise that, you know, are taught to the kids to be like, right, you know, certain stereotypes are being crushed, or certain things that maybe were taught before, or the way that the curriculum is?
So because I teach sports, I think a lot more now before, like, they try and get a lot more girls involved with the sports, so they don't feel like, oh, it's just like for boys. Like, girls can do what boys can do as well, which I think is really great. Like, when I work and there's some girls that just want to sit out and stuff, I'll encourage them as much as possible to get involved, because they can do it. It's just, I think they
lack be of put
down.
Sometimes.
Yeah, it's a lack of confidence, and they get put down a lot, thinking that, oh, that the boys play football, that I don't want to join in and stuff like that. I was like, no, you can do this. Like, you're high skilled. Like, there's a lot of girls in the schools that I work in that are high skilled, but they don't want to show it off because they'll, like, portray as, like, being too masculine, if that makes sense.
Yeah, which I don't think should be the case.
Yeah.
If you enjoy something and if you want to do something, who's to say that you can't then do
exactly.
that? You know, I remember I was in a school and they were really big on their sports, and they would make sure that there was girls' teams as well as the boys' teams for all different sports.
Yeah.
And it was really lovely to see, because you saw that really, you know, sense of achievement, especially with the girls, and they were so committed and really wanted to achieve these goals, and you'd see them and they'd go to all these competitions or all these sort of events, and then you'd just see how you know, committed and how great it made them feel.
Yeah.
And how it really just kind of gave them that sense of empowerment, which I think is so needed in today's, you know, day and age.
Yeah.
You know, and that sort of thing.
You know how you mentioned, like, the workplace earlier on? I don't know if you, like, seen over social media, but there was this girl in India, I think she was a doctor.
Okay.
She ended up getting raped. I think it was by multiple people, and, like, injured as well, which I find really, really sad.
She was murdered.
Yeah, and then she, like, died, sadly. And I think coming from that as well, like, there's not enough justice around it. Like, women, they should be able to have that freedom of being able to work and feeling comfortable in the workplace. However, like, seeing what happened to her, it makes other women feel a bit, like, vulnerable, like, going to work now. And it's a shame, really.
It really is. And although it happened in India,
yeah.
you know, this happens all over the world. I mean, if we're going into things into a bit more depth, unfortunately, in some countries, child marriage is still very much a thing. And you've got these literal, like, kids who are 10, 9, 11, and they're getting married off, and it's horrific to see, you know, they're being taken advantage of, and these are literal child, you know, kids, and they're getting married off, and you think, and you're like, wow, you know, and it just makes you think, and it just really makes you just, there's not really any words to describe it, is it?
Yeah.
Like, and it's just, I'm lost for words sometimes with the amount of things that are still going on to women, and the amount of things that are brushed under the rug, and the amount of things that aren't, there's not enough exposure. You know, I feel like maybe 10 years previously, like 10 years before, you know, the amount of cases that were put forward were probably less than what there is now. Mm-hmm. And the amount of people that were speaking up would have been less then now. I think women are becoming more confident in being able to speak up and say, oh, I did get raped, or yes, I did get discriminated, or I was harassed, or I do feel extremely uncomfortable in this situation. And they feel like they've got a voice.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas previously, they wouldn't have had that, you know?
Yeah, people, the feel like they're being listened to a little bit more. There are the challenges, as you say, still to come. And people every day still have the challenges. But compared to, I know, 100 years ago when we got first, but the suffragettes, well, it's even more now, isn't it? And the suffragettes and women's right and getting the vote and how far we've come from that. And it's been a long kind of journey.
It's been very long, yes.
So, and it's quite new, so say the Equal Pay Act is 1970s. To you, though, you'll probably think that's a lifetime ago. But that's when I was born, so it's still in my lifetime. And really, it should, we shouldn't be talking about these things.
It should have already been progressed.
Absolutely.
And we should have, you know, it's one of those things where you're like, right, you know, women are having more rights and they have got a voice, but we're still not where we need to be.
No. And then you had the Me Too movement as well. That was quite a big, I think, input for women's rights. That did a lot, I think, for women.
Yeah, definitely.
We've made that more aware. But we do need to question media as well sometimes. Yeah. I think, I know you talked about social media, but the media as well, how they portray things.
I think there is such a mixed bag on social media, and there are definitely good things about social media, but there are also things that need to be improved on and messages that need to be spread about the fact that we just want to be equal. We don't, like, I think especially like how you mentioned with some men feel threatened, but they shouldn't feel threatened because women have been fighting for such a long time and all they're trying to do is get to a level ground. They're not trying to be better than you. We just want what you guys have. We want the same equal rights. We want to be able to have the same opportunities. We want to be able to, you know, go into a job interview and not feel like we're being judged because we're a woman. We want to be able to, you know, walk down the street at night and not feel like we're going to get attacked. We want to, you know, be CEOs of companies, and we have got all these dreams. And just because we're a woman doesn't mean we are restricted from doing those things. And women, we have certain qualities that men don't have, and in certain perspectives we can thrive in certain industries that actually we can be really good at. But because we're not given a chance, and because we're not seen, and we're not accepted, and we're not taken seriously, those things are still, you know, there's still this sort of bit of, what's the word, like a boundary. There's still that kind of, you know, how are we going to get through this, and how is this going to break down so we can get to a better place? So, like, in the future, what would you really like to see, and what would you wish would be the case for women in terms of their rights and in terms of what they, you know, have in the future and that sort of thing?
As you say, to be is equals, everyone to be equal, have the same aspirations and be dreams and be able to achieve those dreams, not to be put down or called names because you want to achieve those dreams. And also, it's like not every woman wants to be a mother or have children, and if that's your choice, and that's your choice, and that you shouldn't be
expected to just, because everybody is different. And again, going on to the children thing, as women, yes, we are fertile, or we, you know, maybe that's like the stereotypical thing, but there are people that just don't want children. There are people that struggle to have children. There are people who, you know, have all these issues. And to just say to a woman, oh, you know, when are you getting married? Yeah. When are you having children? You know, that sort of thing. It's like, well, actually,
that's not like a priority.
Yeah.
We want to think about our career, our future. It's not always about having kids or getting
being in the kitchen or cooking something.
Like,
or
it's so stereotypical of like, oh, women should just belong in the kitchen. They shouldn't do anything. Like, I've heard that so many times.
And especially with certain cultures, especially I feel like in the South Asian culture, definitely. Even though like I was brought up, you know, in the UK, that sort of thing. And
it is still like that, though.
There is still those stereotypes, unfortunately. There are still those things where it's like, okay, you know what, are you going to cook today? Or have you thought about like doing cooking in the future? Or like, you know, that sort of thing, that you should be in the kitchen more and things like that. And it's like, well, you know, actually, no, I want to pursue my career. I want to write a book. I want to, you know, be in a work environment more than I'd want to be at home.
Yeah.
Like, why can't that be the case, you know? What would you say that you would like to see in the future in terms of rights for women and acceptance and just in general, what would you want to see in the future?
Well, I hope for, like, women to have more of a voice. Like, obviously doing this podcast right now, it is giving us a voice that we're able to speak
definitely,
about.
Definitely, definitely.
How we feel towards women's rights and stuff. And I think a lot more, especially teenagers and, like, young children, should be able to have this voice as well and be able to talk.
You've raised a really good point. I think our generation,
they tend to stay quite quiet of it and they'll keep it, like, through social media, but to an extent they won't say how they truly feel.
Yeah, I think especially with, like, younger generations and, like, we've got kids that are, like, you know, maybe younger kids and then we've got teenagers and maybe, like, young adults, it's really important to instill in them that you've got this and, you know, just because you're a woman doesn't mean you can't do certain things.
Yeah.
And that you're no less than anyone else. And whatever you want to do, go for it. You know, don't feel like you have to act a certain way or do things a certain way or have makeup on every single day or, you know, especially with social media, like the appearance and whatnot, don't feel like you always have to shave your body hair because that's for you to decide. That's not for anybody else. That's not for men to decide. If you're comfortable doing that, go for it. If you don't want to do it, then don't do it. You know, we don't want all of these sort of expectations to be instilled in them and to be sort of something that they think about on a daily basis. We want them to have their own, you know, views and their own aspirations and be able to just really say, okay, this is me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, yeah.
Quick question. Would you say that the police are doing a good job when it comes to, like, women being raped? As in, like, taking charge and making women feel protected, because there has been times where, like, police officers have raped women, and I think some
abuse of power, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's really just goes against everything and all the, you know, policies, but they're abusing their power purely because they're men. Yeah. Purely because they think they can get away with it, which is completely and utterly just out of order, and it should not be happening, and it still is happening. And I mean, going on to what, you know, you've said, it's, what would you say in terms of abuse of power, certain workplaces and whatnot? Have you seen that? Have you sort of heard of it? Have you dealt with any situations or anything like that?
I haven't myself, but I'm sure there's been lots of abuse of power throughout the years in different places. I think there's probably something at the BBC. There's always something going off at the BBC that's kicking off at the minute. Another one. So, yeah, there's probably lots of places. And then you've got, before the Me Too, the film industry and the media industry, it's one of those, isn't it?
We've literally only chipped at the tip of the iceberg. This is literally, we're only just getting started, and we could definitely go into more detail into specific parts.
Yeah.
But I'm glad that we started this conversation, and, you know, we're trying to get more awareness out there for all different types of women, whether that be your religion or your background or the way you live your life or things like that. And going on from that, we've got this book over here, which you might have seen popping up. This book is actually, it's an Islamic sort of woman-owned sort of organisation, which was called Project Illuminate. And in here you will find some Islamic women sort of, like, writing their own piece and what their religion means to them. I've actually got two poems that have been published in this lovely book here. And if you are interested, I'm sure you'll be able to get your hands on one copy. And yeah, thank you so much for coming on today, guys.
Thank you.
I've really, you know, enjoyed talking to you guys and getting into a deeper look into what, you know, being a woman means to you. And yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.